Blog Talk Radio.
Del mundo, ¿cómo están todos? Aquí con ustedes una vez más, otro viernes, como siempre, trayéndole de lo mejor que podemos conseguir para que ustedes gocen. Hoy tenemos muy buena conversación, pero sabe que si vieron nuestros anuncios, ya sabemos que llegó la Navidad, ya es el tiempo de comer nuestro lechón asado y todo eso. Y queríamos hablar un poquito de eso, traer recuerdos de cuando éramos niños y cosas así. Así que no se me vaya, porque también le voy a dar un chance, si se atreve, a darnos una llamadita al 619-638-8410 para que nos llame y nos diga acerca de sus momentos cuando eran niños, de la Navidad, cuáles son sus mejores recuerdos, cuál es la comida que le gusta comer de Navidad y todo eso. Mientras tanto, para que lo sepan, yo soy Will Santiago Viera y este es su show, Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Un nombre larguísimo, pero muy bueno. Recuerden que le pedimos que siempre, ustedes que están escuchando el show, saben que están en Black Talk Radio. So, yo quiero que en Black Talk Radio se apunten para que sepan cada vez que tenemos un show, pues si ustedes le dan el correo electrónico, pues ellos le mandan la información del show. Y además pueden ir a Black Talk Radio y escuchar shows que hemos tenido en el pasado. Así que por favor háganme en eso. También tenemos la página del show Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Y queremos que vaya por Facebook y le dé un like e invite a todas sus amistades a que hagan lo mismo. También tenemos nuestra página, pero que está escondida, que se llama Boricuas of the World Social Club, que ahí fue que comenzó todo, ahí que tenemos los miles de miembros. Ustedes lo que tienen que hacer es ir a Facebook, en la parte izquierda, arriba, escribe el nombre del grupo, Boricuas of the World Social Club. Ahí llega la página y entonces se apunta a nuestra página. También ponga su gente boricua, gente buena, porque si son malas lo sacamos, pero háganme en eso. Hoy tenemos con nosotros dos grandes autores, Jonathan Marcantoni, y tenemos también a Nelson Antonio Dennis, que vamos a hablar un poquito acerca de algunas cosas que están pasando en nuestra comunidad boricua en Puerto Rico. Así que por favor no se me vayan, si quieren buscarse su cervecita, su traguito, vayan y hágalo ahora, porque vamos a comenzar rápidamente para que escuchen nuestro show y gocen. También tenemos musiquita jíbara, que es muy buena, así que no se me vayan. Mientras tanto, queremos saludar a nuestros dos hermanos que han estado con nosotros un par de veces, el señor Nelson Antonio Dennis y el señor Jonathan Marcantoni. How you guys doing, brothers?
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
We're live.
We're good. Hey, guys. Hi, too.
It's good to have you. It's good to have you guys here once again. You guys been contributors to my show, and I appreciate it. And I'm sure that the folks that are listening in also appreciate it. So, como estaba diciendo,
you're starting to become family. I think I could call up any one of your viewers and be like, "Hey, can I sleep on the couch?" You're like, "Yeah, we know you, John. You're good."
Sure. So, today we want to talk about Christmas. Queremos hablar de la Navidad. But unfortunately, there are a ton of things that are happening in Puerto Rico right now, and I don't know that Christmas is going to be as good as it should be for many Puerto Ricans. Yesterday, I believe, or today, I read on the Nelson Dennis's page, the one there with a war against all Puerto Ricans, about the possible takeover of Puerto Rico's government by the federal government of the United States. And quickly, I want you to elaborate on that, Nelson.
Well, it's an internal government, as opposed to the United States has pretty much controlled Puerto Rico's external affairs, its international trade relations, the price of the products that come in and out. But they sort of like left Puerto Rico to play around in its own backyard, you know, like keeping a little dog on a long leash on a yard. Now that's going to be severely compromised as well. Because of the Puerto Rico debt, instead of structuring some Chapter 9 bankruptcy relief, or talking about Jones Act reform, or any of the real internal economic changes that would improve the situation. They're simply going to there's a Senate bill. It's called the Puerto Rico Recovery Act of 2015, but it's not really for assistance. It's really to impose a six-member financial control board, the chairman of which will be the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, and the other five members will be appointed by the President of the United States. And they will have full executive budgetary powers over Puerto Rico, the Commonwealth, the governor, the legislature. They will basically petition this board for their budget. And the board will oversee all the public authorities, the water, the electricity, the police department, everything. All the spending on the island will have to be approved by and certified by this six-member board. In addition, they'll have prosecutorial powers. They'll be able to demand evidence, subpoena witnesses, make them swear them on penalty of perjury, and basically hold hearings. And if people don't give evidence or withhold, or if they don't like what they hear, people could be subject to civil and criminal penalties, including losing their jobs. So this board is going to be basically the governor, banker, judge, jury, and prosecutor of Puerto Rico until such time as they feel that, and there's no really exit period. It will be at the discretion of the president as to when the job is done. So it's a rough way to start the year. And this is a Senate bill. There's a House bill that was promulgated by a guy named Sean Duffy from Wisconsin, which is a little less severe, and it has Chapter 9 bankruptcy relief along with it. So we now have two competing bills. They may go into conference committees. There may be a reconciliation bill. But basically, Puerto Ricans are put yet again into a position of begging Washington for the least worst result. So it's going to be a rough situation. Mm-hmm. But people should know that this is going to happen. There's probably going to be a financial control board in Puerto Rico.
And how does this trickle down to the people? What will happen? I'm sure services will be cut, but how badly will it look for nuestra gente puertorriqueña?
See, I don't want to be the prophet of doom, hopefully, things pick up, but if it's the Senate bill without any bankruptcy relief, that means then the Puerto Rico will be entirely on the hook for that quote-unquote $73 billion debt, which therefore increases the austerity measures. Where if it were the House bill, the congressional bill, with some bankruptcy in it, then that would reduce some of that debt burden. If it's the Senate bill, there's going to be more severe job losses. There's going to be rollbacks and possibly even a discussion of elimination of some pensions. So it's going to be at the discretion of the board, but they will have the complete authority to streamline payrolls and basically without consultation, they can just do it unilaterally. So in terms of numbers, I don't know, but there will be there. It looks like there's going to be job cuts in Puerto Rico.
So it'll be evil. We'll have the lesser of two evils. Yes, Jonathan, tell me.
Lo siento. Is it okay if I ask Nelson a question?
Please.
Sure. I was wondering. I was wondering because when I'm looking at this, you even have Pedro Pierluisi, who one of the biggest kiss asses that you could possibly send to Washington, and I think it was yesterday. He was straight up like, we might as well be independent. He was just so fed up with the way Congress regards Puerto Rico. And I can't help but feel that what Congress is doing is it is trying as much as possible to make Puerto Rico not want to be a part of the U.S. Like, it's actually, I feel like the U.S. government is pushing Puerto Rico to independence because this is not the way that you treat a territory that you want to be a state. What do you think about that?
I would say so, but it's not as if it's sort of unstated agenda, because I think it's pretty explicit that the United States doesn't want it. It's not as if they're going to sort of like not come out and say it. I think it's they're pretty clear that the Wall Street doesn't want to lose the triple tax exempt bonds that they're getting. The Jacksonville doesn't want to lose the 50,000 jobs that are there because of the Jones Act. Enormous numbers of consumer goods corporations don't want to lose the 15% to 20% corporate profit override that comes from the Jones Act. And all 50 states would not want Puerto Rico to have bankruptcy powers all of a sudden. That would then reduce some of the federal funds that would be available to them. And we're at a point where, you know, Trump is leading in the polls. Ann Coulter's book, Adios America, is a bestseller. Congress does not want to lose 5 seats to anyone, and especially Republicans don't want to lose them to 5 Puerto Ricans. So from a political, economic, and sociological standpoint, we're getting a pretty clear monolithic expression that we're really really not wanted at this point. So I agree with you, John. I'm just saying that what I'm adding to what you just said is that it's pretty overt. I don't think they're making any secret of it.
I totally disagree with that notion, man. You know, the United States, the problem with the United States is that they're used to doing things their way. And you can't dictate to the United States. And so, you know, people are asking, do this for us, do this for Puerto Rico, and the United States say no. They're so, you know, this is the way that we put it together, and this is that way that is going to stay. The Puerto Rico is strategically very, very important to the United States. They can spy on South America, Central America. You know, the Caribbean. So I think that it's a very strategic point. I doubt that they want to get rid of Puerto Rico. I mean, it's getting rid of Puerto Rico is as simple as saying lo vamos a dejar, and Congress gets to work on it. So I think it's not that they want to eventually let us go. Mm-hmm. I think that they just want to juice us to the point of no return. You know, they don't give a damn. They don't want us. They don't care if we become a third world country. Although I think we're almost at that point. You know. You know, we're going to be very, very poor before anything really solid happens con nuestra gente.
Actually, there's a call. Go ahead. Will, there's a corollary to that. Let me say this, and I'm going to flip what you just said around, and maybe you catch the drift. At the same time, the other side of that coin is that it's like a parasite that's feeding on a host. So the host might get weak, but the parasite gets fattened up. What's happening at the same time that people are leaving, they're getting taxed to death, and you know all this austerity, is that there's these 20-year tax incentives to John Paulson and to other high-net-worth individuals and to the wedge hedge funds that are going to be essentially owning the physical infrastructure. So what will happen simultaneously as people keep moving to Orlando and into Florida is that more Americans will actually move in and become property owners and buy up distressed property. So part of what the irony of this is that it may actually but lead to statehood of Puerto Rico maybe 20 or 30 years from now when another million and a half Puerto Ricans have left and more North Americans have moved in and it becomes really a sort of a gentrified Brooklyn type of situation. And then when we have that critical mass of gentrification, then they'll feel that it's good, you know, they're comfortable with making it a state.
I agree that this whole thing is opening up some eyes in Puerto Rico and of course all Puerto Ricans throughout the world, and I think that this can lead to Puerto Rico eventually becoming a republic. I understand that, but I doubt that it will be because the United States has decided to give us freedom. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, Will. You know, because I'm looking at this and. What I feel, you know, one of the things that's harmed Puerto Rican society for so long is that overall Puerto Rican not just Puerto Ricans, but all Latin Americans have this very positive view of the United States, of like the United States cares about us. It's this nation of immigrants, as they like to call themselves. And I think this whole situation with the debt crisis, it's really taking those blinders off, and it's like, no, they really don't care about you. And that sentiment of the United States does not care about us, it only wants to exploit us, that's no longer a sentiment that's just on the left. It's becoming a mainstream sentiment, which when Pedro Pierluisi said what he said yesterday, that's that aggravation that we've been feeling in the liberal circles for so long, finally coming into the mainstream. And what I hope is that doesn't stop, that not only Puerto Ricans but all Latin Americans see that the United States really is not a friend. We need to stop giving to this parasite that's just feeding off of us and exploiting us, and we really need to free ourselves from it. And I think this situation is a perfect example.
Yeah, I mean, look, not only Puerto Rico is opening up its eyes. If you notice, what's happening politically here in the United States is also alienating the whole world. So the whole world is opening up their eyes to what the United States truly is. And I'm sure that eventually we're going to get that support that we need, because the world is going to say, you know, it's enough. You've done it to them enough. Now it's time to give them their liberty. But anyway, I don't want to continue on this conversation because my show is only 45 minutes long. I just wanted to touch on that a little bit. You know, our show is about Navidad. And I wanted to hear your take on how your Navidad is. Whether you were here or you were in Puerto Rico. Let's begin with Jonathan. Jonathan, how was of course, let's not make it a big story. Short story so that we can all get
get our piece well, in. I shared with you guys a childhood memory from Dorado, and we would do the parrandas with my tío. But I also, you know, and then they would go throughout the night, and it was the only time my parents would let us drink when we were kids. We would have coquito, and that was just a big thing. But also, I just want to touch on an experience in Tampa with my wife's family. You know, all recently arrived from Puerto Rico, and her abuelo would cook up a pernil. I mean, not pernil, lechon, excuse me. You know, he'd roast that pig, we'd go out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, all the way into the afternoon, drinking, and just having a party just for 2 or 3 days.
Just being Boricua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't stop us no matter where we are.
That's true. How about you, Nelson?
Well, I mentioned this to you before, just before the show, that a vivid memory for me was my father worked, and mother, all of us, we had hardworking parents. In my case, my mother and father met. They were both in the garment center. They were making belts. My father would work sometimes two jobs, at 32BJ as an elevator operator, and then in the garment center. But he was. What I remember is that we never went hungry. I never felt that feeling. I never felt poor as a kid. I didn't know what that was. I always felt safe. And Christmas always felt like that it was abundant. I mean, we had presents under the tree, and you know. So I gotta give great credit to my parents to somehow keeping the whole world outside and creating that sort of that zone of safety, and that probably helped me in terms of feeling confident and trying to be smart in school. I never felt that anyone was better than me. I always felt that I believed that thing, that you could be whatever you wanted to be. Now I have some doubts about that, but that's probably because I'm an old man. But a one vivid memory, and I was telling you this, is my father was really pro-Castro, really pro, you know, Fidel. And in our Christmas tree, we'd have the lights, but then instead of the balls, those little things, that he would hang these little Fidel Castros on the tree, so we'd have like a tree with like little 53-inch Fidel Castros. I've never seen that anywhere else, man. A little Fidel Castro tree.
Yeah, and the good thing, The good thing is that we have the longest Christmas ever. I mean, we begin on between the 17th and the 24th of December, and then we end up in La Fiesta de la Calle San Sebastián between the 18th and the 22nd of January. So our Navidades, you know, when people here in America have long forgotten Christmas, we're still celebrating in Puerto Rico. No?
Yeah.
And then we have arroz con gandules, lechón asado, pasteles de masa, yautía, mm-hmm. yuca, y arroz, empanada de yuca, mm-hmm. morcilla, cuajito, gandinga, guineito en escabeche, guineito con molleja. Arroz con dulce, tembleque, majarete, turrones, dulce mm-hmm. típico de Puerto Rico. I mean, we have our Christmases are very defined, you know, and that's beautiful. I love it. I love it. Si alguien tiene una Navidad que quiere, tenemos poco tiempo para la llamada, pero claramente porque hablamos un poquito, pero si usted tiene alguna idea de cómo, quiere darle una idea de cómo fue su Navidad cuando era niño, denos una llamadita. El número 619-638-8410. Give us a call if you want to share with us your experiences as a child. In your Christmases, uh-huh. And then the number is 619-638-8410, and I think I have a call here, 917-922, let's see, hello, Boricuas of the World, who is on the line?
Hello.
Hello?
You don't know.
Oh, I already recognize the voice. This is Raquel Algarín, and let me tell you guys, Raquel Algarín, when I began 3.5 years ago doing the show, she was my co-host. Raquel, how are you?
From the kitchen.
You're from the kitchen, huh? Okay. So tell me your experience as a child in Christmas. What are your fondest memories?
Goodness. No, okay. I'll start from here. We didn't know anything about la pacanda because we were kids.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, people used to knock on the door and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm sure you've heard that.
Sure.
But then,
at 2 o'clock in the morning,
then,
too.
Yeah, I know. Pero, you know, since my mother and my father were always drinking, we ate all the food. We didn't want anybody else to come in.
I see.
That was me. It was me and my brother.
Did you ever have like cookies and milk for Santa or yerba under the bed for the
yeah.
camels?
Yeah,
you did that
yeah.
too.
That's right.
It's incredible.
And then on the other side, you know, if people didn't want the gift, you know, they would take it home and give it to somebody else.
Well, you know, but that's Raquel. That's exactly the thing, and I think that's what Nelson alluded to is that, you know, there was always plenty of food that you felt like you had a lot, and
yeah.
then when people came
yeah.
to your house, people would be able to take a plate home. You know, there was
yeah.
plenty of food. You know, arroz con gandules. I mean, I remember Mom making this huge pot of arroz con gandules, and my father was the
yeah.
pastel. My father was a pastel maker, and so my father
yeah.
would make pasteles. I mean, he would take one, you know, those freezers, those freezers that you open from the top. My father
uh-huh.
would fill that up. My father, one day he sat down and made pasteles for a week. He made about 500 pasteles. We were eating pasteles for 6 months after Christmas, and my father used to make these pasteles that you eat one. Eat one, you didn't have to eat anything else because that's really grande. I don't know,
by
Nelson,
then
you ever tried any of my father's pasteles, Nelson?
No, but they're legendary. I've heard many stories about them.
Yeah.
Let
so
me
that,
tell you.
You know, Dad used to make the pasteles and Mom, you know, would take care of everything else. But he was his specialty was los pasteles, and they were delicious, man, delicious. You were saying, Raquel.
Yeah, recently we went to my husband's family to, you know, stay overnight, and there were these tons of pasteles in the refrigerator. I was like, what, you cook every day? What's going on here? We can't
well, you know, that's
that.
The idea, to make
no,
them...
But...
The idea is to make them so that they can last. Now that I, Jonathan, you live in Colorado. Can you find pasteles and pernil and arroz con gandules out
actually,
there?
There's actually a really great service called Chichorreo Fuera de la Isla, and they actually deliver Puerto Rican food to your house. No delivery charge.
And how's your
in Colorado Springs? Like they will do that for you.
I know your wife is a chef. Does she mete mano with the pernil and things of that sort?
Oh, my wife makes pernil like all the time, all year round. So she actually started making a pernil stew in the slow cooker. Like it's actually really tasty, But unfortunately, my wife does not like pasteles. Me and her mother like to make fun of her for the
fact. Is she Puerto Rican?
She's Puerto Rican. She's very Puerto Rican. You know, she'll cut you. But she's never liked pasteles. And actually, none of her sisters do. So her mother, when I came into the family, she was so thrilled that I love pasteles. So like, me and her will just like chow down. But my wife makes pozole, and she does all the different empanadillas and dulces, all that stuff. But she just doesn't make pasteles. So.
And Nelson, how about you? What do you eat? What do you eat in Navidades nowadays?
Well, my mother would make all of that stuff, but I always tried to. I drove her crazy because I would try to be healthy, and she's saying, Nelson, but it's Christmas, so, you know, just eat already. So, lo de siempre, lo pernil, lo pastel, la alcapurria, arroz con gandules, and that's the things that mom would do. But I always try to get sneak some salads in there and some baked chicken and stuff, and it's kind of obnoxious because it's almost like you're not. Are you Puerto Rican or what?
The thing is that I know you've been like a health nut for a while, and I will tell you, we have a legislative day where we took our members to Albany to meet with you guys. You were at that time. You were. Assemblyman, and so we went to meet with some of the assemblymen and some of the senators, and I have about 30 members with me, and then we're looking for Assemblyman Dennis, and we go to his office, and he's not there.
Don't even go there. I know where you're going. I knew that.
We see him coming in his exercise clothing. He was in the gym exercising.
Well,
what are you doing,
I'm
man?
Sure it was lunch. But wait, in other words, you did see me. In other words, I did show up.
I was much more
efficient the rest of the day. We have a legislative gym, but
it was so funny because we were about to leave. We were sitting there for 15 minutes. And then he comes and says, don't go. I want to talk to you. No, but you know what? You were very kind to us. You sat down, you chatted with us. You answered all the questions that we had. So
I'm no better, Will, because you know what one of our favorite things to do? And this is going to sound sacrilegious, but we bake tostones. I know that sounds completely wrong, but we'll bake them because it's healthier. Because me and my wife, we're healthier too. I applied to this law.
I like to eat healthy myself. But en las Navidades, you just got to let it go. You know what I mean? You just got to let it go in the Navidades and eat, the right stuff. So you gain 10 pounds. You can lose them in January, you know, but in the meantime, you know, you do what you need to do. Anyway, listen, Dennis, and let me just, sure,
thing?
Give me 1 second. Dennis,
okay.
you sat down with
okay.
us in your shorts, and you really chatted with us, and our members left happy because they were able to talk to you and you gave them the answers they wanted to hear. So just want to clear that out. Okay?
And we stopped a lot of evictions. We stopped a lot of evictions.
We worked together very, very well, and I'm very proud of the work that you and I and the members did in East Harlem. So you were saying, Raquel?
No, I was going to say that before we left Puerto Rico, my father was in the Army, and then he moved here. And I have had a brother, may he rest in peace, and he always used to take my dolls. I was like, where are my dolls? Where's my dolls? And yeah, I'm looking underneath the bed and all that kind of stuff.
Pero que te la escondía.
You know, my mother, ¿qué?
Que te la escondía.
¿Qué?
Que, sí. You would hide them.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's what brothers are called.
Raquel, I had a cousin. Oh, sorry.
Huh?
Go ahead, Nelson.
No, I was going to say, I had a cousin that he was on 40, era rico. He was cross-eyed. And he would always come and because he couldn't see things straight. He would break my toys. This guy, you know, I had a cross-eyed cousin. He was a very nice, really great guy, but he didn't know how to play with the toys, right? He'd break them all. Anyway, that was my story.
One time,
he got into my little they got me this little fire engine, the one with the little pedals, and you can pedal, you know. And I was real, oh, wow, I got my car. So, because he was cross-eyed, he couldn't judge the distances, he drove it right into the front door, and the whole car exploded. I mean, not exploded, but, like, fell apart. God, Maria.
This conversation has turned really weird. We were talking about Christmas, and suddenly we're talking about biscos and toys exploding and that sort of thing. But, you know, folks, we run out of time.
Okay,
we want to play a little Christmas music.
Real quick.
Go ahead, Raquel. Go ahead.
Okay, the last thing for me is that my mother wouldn't buy my brother a ball. So the next day, he pulled the doll's neck and threw it away.
Oh, he was a vicious brother.
I was like, what happened to my doll?
He was a pretty vicious brother. Anyways, listen, folks, I want to play some music. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say really quick, Christmas is a time of rebirth, and so I hope that 2016 can be a rebirth of the Puerto Rican nation. So I just want to send it out on a happy note for what's going on
yes.
in Puerto Rico. There can still Definitely. Be
yeah. But there's got to be something better for Puerto Rico, and I'm also hopeful that things begin to turn, you know, up for us. Finally, you were saying, Nelson?
No, I agree. And you know, let's working together, maybe with the unions and everyone here in New York and Chicago and the entire diaspora. To, you know, we love our island, and it's all hands on deck. So hopefully, we'll deck the halls, and then we'll get to work in January and do what we can.
That's right. That's right. Mientras tanto, felicidades a toda nuestra gente allá en Puerto Rico. Yo sé que están en Navidad mode, so listen, have a good time out there. Be safe. Don't use your guns to shoot up in the air or shoot anywhere. Don't use guns at all, man. Just celebrate with fireworks and that sort of thing. But folks, I want to play a little Christmas music because I had that prepared. So, para que gocen un poquito, le doy las gracias a la gente que estuvieron conmigo hoy, a Jonathan, a Nelson, y a Raquel. Thank you for being here with us. They'll be here in the future again because they're family. Thank you, Raquel. And lo dejamos con un poquito de música, una trulla para que gocen. Hasta la semana que viene, mi gente, que la gocen bien, que la gocen bien, 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 bien. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bendición, Will.
Saludos, lengua, saludos, a Loisa, venido, bonito. Llévame a la gloria mañana a las 9. Llévame a la gloria. soplaba, no algo invisible venía y la soplaba. Yo tenía una luz que a mí me alumbraba y venía la risa, ¡buah! Y me la apagaba.